This is a Storage Switzerland podcast.
With the Meet the CEO. Hi, Charlie Hodges, along with George Crump on another edition of Meeting People Who Are Leaders in the Storage Industry. Today, we turn to DH2i and the Chief Executive Officer, Don Boxley. Don, thanks for joining us today.
Charlie, just delightful to be here.
Tell us a little bit about DH2i.
We started the company, my co-founder and I, Bang & Nago, back in 2010. So we've reached a significant milestone, you know, in the life of any startup, if will. We've gotten through 5 years. We started it with the goal of how could we help customers do a better job of managing their enterprise applications in the Windows space. Our focus is, you know, our background and our understanding has really been around Windows. And as we looked around and understood customers and as they were struggling with managing these enterprise applications, which are very expensive to buy and to support, trying to figure out how can we make it easier for them. And so one of the things that we thought that would actually do that would be enable them to move an enterprise application simply from one host to another host anywhere in their environment within seconds, right? We had this concept of jailbreaking, if you will, enterprise applications. And to do that, we really focused on containers. We thought that containers was the way to do it. So we founded the company around building containers specifically for, you know, the Windows Server ecosystem.
You started the company with OJ Nago. He's your chief technology officer. He also has the chemical engineering degree from Oregon State. You have the MBA from Cornell. So I guess you're the money guy and he's the technical guy, huh?
It seems like that's how we've kind of, you know, divvied up our responsibilities. Absolutely. So
how did y'all come into that comfort zone to where that worked?
Yeah. We met each other while we were working at HP. I was a part of HP before he was, and he was working for a small company called PolyServe. I had the, you know, relationship through HP with PolyServe, and a decision was made on the part of HP to purchase PolyServe, and so we bought PolyServe and brought it in-house, and so I got to know OJ pretty well during that time. Company is, you know, HP and large companies, you know, they do things and they decide they don't want to do them in the future. Decision was made to, you know, de-invest in the PolyServe space. OJ left the company. I was kind of thinking about what I wanted to do next. And we latched onto this idea of, you know, we think this thing's got a lot of legs, this whole idea of containers. There was some technology that was a part of the PolyServe stack that we wanted to get access to. So, you know, we made an offer to HP to say, hey, you know, there are a bunch of customers that are using PolyServe. Why don't you let us spin it back out? We know what we're doing. We can really, you know, solve some problems you might have around customer satisfaction. That didn't work out. So we ended up going to our plan B and writing code from scratch. But it's one of those relationships where, you start off kind of feeling each other out, but you've got an objective that you both want to win, right? You want to achieve, and so that becomes the glue that pulls you together, right? How do we do this? And so, you know, we just kind of got focused on that, and as we got into it, you know, you just get to know somebody pretty well along the way, right?
Define win. I mean, some people would say defining winning is getting to the IPO. Others will say it's putting out a great product. Others will say valuing the company high enough to where someone will buy us for a lot of money. What's the win for you?
Yeah, for us, I think for OJ and I, we started out with we wanted to, you know, prove to ourselves that we could just build a successful ongoing business, right? Where you've got customers, you've got revenue, you've got, you know, employees, that you've got that whole process, right? You're able to manage that. I think longer term, the win for us would be, you know, we've got a sustainable business that we could grow into something pretty large, right? You know, we have a vision of being, you know, really the next VMware, because we think containers can do that. And we think we've got a good start towards achieving that objective.
Joining us on the podcast is Storage Switzerland founder and lead analyst, George Crump. Hello, George.
Hey, Charlie. Hey, Don. It's interesting. I think that most people, when they hear containers, they think this is some new thing that came out, and probably it's a lot of the euphoria that surrounds Docker. But really, the truth is, the concept of containers have been around basically as long as virtualization, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, it's just like virtualization, right? When first virtualization came out, people seemed to think that VMware was, you know, was something completely brand new. When in fact, you know, IBM had been doing virtual machines, you know, on the mainframes forever. Same thing with containers. You know, it's been around forever. I think the thing that and this is one of the things we've learned as we've been in this, is it just takes, it really takes, is in spite of the fact that people like to believe that they're pretty leading edge, I think, you know, human nature, once you kind of get locked into a way of doing things, thinking about doing it different is difficult, right? It's just difficult. And I think, you know, we've gone through this evolution of virtual machines. Now we're kind of getting containers. We kind of see it the same way of people just trying to sort through their minds, okay, how can I leverage containers? I'm hearing a lot of buzz about it. What does it actually do for me, right? So I think we think we're in a really good position as a result of that.
And I think the other thing that's really unique, obviously, about you guys is the focus on Windows, because again, most people think containers, they think either, you know, in my days we thought mainframes and things like that, and of course Linux and Unix and things like that. But there's some distinct advantages to running this type of a concept in the Windows environment, right?
Within the Windows ecosystem, it's got some really nice things about it, right? You've got a homogeneous, you know, operating system environment. What I mean by that is, you know, an ISV can develop an application, and they can be pretty confident it's going to run on, you know, 2000 Windows, what used to be, you know, what still is, I guess, people moving off of it. But, you know, Windows 2003, 2008, right? It's really simple that way. What we're seeing is with containers, it gives there's an opportunity for customers to take the virtual machine environment that they've created around Windows and actually optimize it, right? So I think that's one thing, you know, out of the podcast, I'd really like people to understand that containers isn't an or technology. It isn't like, okay, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Containers is all about an and technology, right? So it's about taking the existing environment that you've got and making it better. So if you're a customer that's been using, and we've got lots of customers, 40% of our customers are using VMware, right? I mean, it's not, with no surprise, but they want to make that VMware environment better. And how do they do that? They take their applications, they containerize them, and allows them to reduce the number of virtual machines that they have to manage, right? Which it just has a ripple effect, you know, throughout the, you know, the entire process of managing enterprise applications. The same with customers who are like, nah, we do everything on hardware, we don't like virtual machines, same thing. Right, containerize the workloads, reduce the number of machines they have to use. Right, same thing. Boom, boom, boom. So we think containers is definitely an and technology. We think it really complements the Windows ecosystem in a lot of ways.
We wrote an article here recently on containers versus virtual machines, and really, although the article started out as sort of this either or kind of discussion, it really ends with really containers just really enhance the virtual environment and just make it all that much better. Right.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, and that's what our customers are seeing, right? Is they're more effective with, you know, the virtual environment. So they get they're getting their cake and they're getting to eat it too, right, by adding containers to it.
So when you look at containers and you look at the Windows environment and all these things you're trying to do, where do you see that in the overall storage industry in the next 3 to 5 years?
What we see is that with containers, it's going to make the, you know, from a storage standpoint, it's going to help facilitate customers able to get even more sophisticated about the types of, you know, storage they deploy per workload. We've seen that, right, where this idea where customers or storage vendors have, you know, developed storage that basically, you know, depending on what the workload, it moves workloads, you know, from, you know, flash to just, you know, normal disks, you know, to off the, I guess, you know, used to be tape. I guess tape is still being used. But, you know, this idea of moving workloads around and putting them on the right storage platform, depending on what they are, I think containers is just going to make that a whole lot easier, right? Because of the nature of a container, the abstraction is just much more easier to manage. So one of the things we see what our customers doing, right? A lot of flash, right? Customers are deploying a lot of flash. And so once they've containerized them, they can move those workloads from, you know, one flash system to another flash system pretty easily. So in the case of disaster recovery, right, moving a container from, you know, one site to another site makes it pretty simple, right? Because as long as the two sites can see each other, you know, it's generally just a drag and drop operation. So in terms of storage, right, I think it's going to make it easier for storage vendors to develop and deliver solutions that complement that, right, in terms of adding, you know, a lot of additional value. So, you know, we think containers and storage, you know, it's going to be a great fit.
Your team, your leadership, how long did it take you in those 5 years to get really, really comfortable with it?
You know, OJ and I surprisingly got comfortable pretty quick right away. I had a lot of confidence in him, as you have to have. I mean, you know, while we were in HP together, you know, frankly, you know, developing enterprise software is difficult. And, you know, the trap that most developers fall into is, when do you stop? Right, we just got to ship a product. OJ was always really good of managing that process. Right, you know, we'd have contracts that said, okay, this particular release has got to have this level of functionality. OJ always met that contract, and you know, on time in terms of meeting the delivery date that we had. So that made it easier. I think the biggest challenge we had was then, how do we add people to our team? Right, you start with two. How do you add people to your team that have a similar mindset, right? Who are excellent at what they do, but at the same time have that bent, if you will, for just getting it done in time, right? There's a lot of people who can do stuff, but can you get it done in time, right? And obviously for a startup, that's crucial, right? In terms of being successful, because you know you don't have infinite amounts of money, right? And you certainly don't have infinite amounts of time. So you have to be able to execute. And so that's where we've been, I think, really good together in terms of bringing people into our organization who know how to execute. They're excellent at what they do, but they know how to execute. So that they're comfortable with that, right?
Do you have a team that if you want to get away for a week that you can leave and not worry about things?
Yeah, I think we've certainly gotten to that point. You know, OJ and I, you know, I mean, obviously those early years, you know, we were working all the time. You know, we've got a more sane, you know, work environment now for us because we've got a team in place that can manage it, right? So one of the things I do, I've got, you know, a couple boys who, you know, are both in college now. They're in Chicago. So, you know, I don't spend a lot of time in Chicago, relatively speaking, but I spend more time in Chicago than I used to. I feel very comfortable, you know, taking off, you know, on a Friday. Early to, you know, catch a flight and go to Chicago, spend a weekend there. Because I know the team back here is, you know, they're locked and loaded. They don't actually need me.
So you say that you like to go to Chicago. What are some of the other things that you like to do when you get away from the business?
You know, my wife and I are like to hike a lot. You know, we live in Colorado and, you know, we're blessed with having, you know, some of the most beautiful terrain in the country. It's very quickly within a couple hours, you can basically get out of cell phone range, right? And just be lost, if you will, in the backcountry. So we like to do that a lot, to help us just, you know, decompress and just, you know, enjoy each other, better. I like to golf, you know, when I get a chance. I don't golf as much as I'd like to, but you know, I do like to golf on the weekends when I get a chance. So those are a couple of things that we really like to do to decompress, if you will.
Hey, Don, if I remember correctly from a prior conversation that you and I had, the reason you go to Chicago is one of your boys, at least, I think, is in soccer, right?
That's right. Yeah, Peter. Yeah, our oldest. Yeah, this is his senior year. Yeah, he plays soccer there on the UChicago team. I was there this past weekend watching him play. They had their first conference game against Emory out of Atlanta, and they unfortunately lost. But, you know, it's just one of those things, right? You can't put a value on it, right? Just to watch your kid do what he likes to do, right? Just be a part of it. So
they have two boys in Chicago.
Yeah, we do. So we've got Peter, our oldest, who is at the UChicago. He's a senior, and then we've got our youngest, Ethan, who's our composer, and he goes at Northwestern. So he's at the Beenan School of Music there. Yeah.
Are they going to come into the company?
No. Like I said, Ethan, he's a composer, very good at it. He wants to write music. Peter wants to be a surgeon, right?
So,
they don't. You know, they're not tech guys in that respect. No.
Although nowadays a surgeon, those guys are basically running computers as sophisticated as we are, for sure, right?
That's right. So he's going to get exposed to it from a different angle, for sure. Right. That way, yeah.
That's Don Boxley. He is the head of DH2i. It's a company out of Colorado, and you'll hear a whole lot more of them as the years go on. Don, thanks for joining us on Meet the CEO.
Guys, thank you so much.
For George Crump and Don Boxley, I'm Charlie Hodges, thanking you for joining us on the Storage Podcast.
For more, go to StorageSwiss.com.